Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Well, good to see everybody here tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to see Brother Mike and his wife. And been looking forward to this ever since Brother Mike asked me to pray about this. And you know how we are. We just need help from God. We all do. That's whether you're saved or lost, you need God to help you. We all do. These are strangest days that we're living in. Boy, it's a crazy world, isn't it? Crazy world. This thing's falling apart. It's melting down all around us. And this book's being fulfilled. It's more up to date than today's newspaper. And it helps a lot to know where we are so we know where we need to go. And so 2 Timothy 2, look at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Bonds are, of course, speaking about his imprisonment and him being chained to a Roman soldier. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord with a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, it wasn't really necessary, I don't guess, to read that old chapter, but I just felt led to. But I'm interested in verse number 3. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And those two words, what I'm interested in, enduring hardness. Amen. If you've been saved any length of time, then you are aware of the hardness in serving God. Even if you're full of the Holy Ghost, there's a hardness in this thing. Verse 3 again, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word hardness speaks of suffering. It speaks of difficulty. It speaks of great affliction. And it teaches or speaks of great trouble. Boy, the Apostle Paul, if there's ever been a man that had to endure hardness for the gospel's sake, it was this man. And you know the hardness of praying, the hardness of witnessing, the hardness of just keeping faith and having joy and walking with God in this world. What a metaphor that Paul used. He's well aware of the soldier in 1 Timothy 1:18. Thou, therefore, that thou mightest fight a good warfare. Archibus, who the Bible talks about, had a church in his home. He called him our fellow soldier. And Paul makes great emphasis on this word soldier at Philippi. He talked about Epaphroditus, the fellow soldier. Ephesians 6, he talks about put on the whole armor of God. Talks about the soldier. 2 Corinthians 10:3, he talks about the weapons of our warfare. 2 Timothy 2:3, he admonishes Timothy again to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now when Claudius in Acts 23 ordered Paul to go to Caesarea, he surrounded him with 200 soldiers, 200 more spearmen, 70 horsemen from the Roman army. Paul was literally guarded, chained to Roman soldiers for 2 years. So he well knows about the Roman soldier. And he's making that metaphor of the discipline and of the single-mindedness and of the loyalty and the dedication that demanded a Roman soldier to do his job for you and I to get a hold of that. Three metaphors are used in this chapter. He talks about a soldier. He talks about an athlete. And then he talks about a farmer. Now, if you're saved tonight, you want to be successful for God. I've never met a child of God didn't want to be successful. I'm talking about the success that God honors. We want to be fruitful. We want to see people saved. We want to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to be like Christ. The older I get, I used to beg God for power. Now I beg God for Christ-likeness. And the greatest achievement in our life is Christ-likeness. Now we think about building a church. And we think about the life we're living. And the foundation that we're building on. And for the last 50 years, all the emphasis is what have you done for God? How many souls have you won to the Lord? And that type of thing. But the very goal of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit making you like Christ above everything in this world. Now, we want to be a fruitful believer and the fruit of the Spirit be manifested through us. What did Christ say? He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. This world is drunk on materialism, on clothing, on houses, on lands, on material riches. But Christ said, if we'll seek first the kingdom of God, have a priority of following Christ, all these things will be added. And thus, what I want to zero in on is this word hardness. If you're going to serve God in these days, you might as well buckle in. It's going to get harder. I hate to tell you that, but it is. It's going to get more difficult than it's ever been. I'm telling you, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This country is under the fog of demon power. Everywhere you go, men that try to serve God, their soul is vexed by the conversation of the wicked. What must we do? Oh, we must expect hardness. Number 2, we should embrace hardness. And number three, we can endure hardness. Now, when a man goes and he joins the military and he goes through boot camp, and that's as far as it goes. He never goes to the battlefield. He never goes to where there's a conflict. He really don't understand the battle. I'm afraid so many people say they're saved have never showed up for the battle. They'll show up for a field parade. They'll show up how to show off their uniform. But when it comes time to fight, you can't find them because of the hardness of serving God. And now this soldier must be focused on the main thing and not be entangled with the affairs of this world. The athlete has got to be disciplined or he can't win. The farmer must obey the rules of nature. He's got to sow the seed at the right time. He's got to turn the ground at the right time. He's got to hoe the crops at the right time. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a discipline in this thing of the Christian life. And Paul said, Timothy, it's going to get hard. It's going to get tough, but endure hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you stay with it. It ain't going to last forever, but you be faithful unto the end, and God will give you the crown of life. Now to be faithful to the Lord, I've got to embrace this hardness. Hey, I ought to get up every day looking for it. It's coming. Yeah, listen, I fought the devil today. I fought him when I got home last night. I'll fight him driving down the road. I'll fight him before I go to bed. I'll fight him tomorrow. Now if I'll make a truce with him, I'll quit aggravating him. He'll quit aggravating me. But as long as I preach this word and try to pray, live right, and declare the gospel, I'm his enemy and he's my enemy. He's shooting at me and he's shooting at you. I'll tell you, it gets harder and harder sometimes to pray. That's why we got to take time to come apart and get closer unto God. But the hardship of a soldier, boy, these men that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan, the average American ain't got a clue how hard that war's been over there. And it's not necessarily the bombs and the bullets that's flying by the soldier's head. It's the elements. It's the temperature. It's the dust. It's the aggravation. It's all that desert warfare. What a man's got to put up with in Vietnam. One of the big problems was the elements. Jungle warfare. And now we're in desert warfare. And that's what you and I experience from time to time. The elements that we're up against. The battle that we're up against. But thank God, God would never call me to do anything he didn't empower me to do and encourage me to do and help me to do. Even though there's a hardship, there's an old song we used to sing, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. Oh, what a blessed thing that it is when you achieve something where there's been great opposition against you. What a feeling of, even self-assurance to know you stood with it and stuck with it and did God's will. A soldier is always on call. There's no time when he's not on call. When the bullets are flying, a soldier never puts pajamas on. He's ready at any second to fight the enemy that's coming in against him. In the battle, you are a target. You can't afford to let your guard down one day. No, sir. Boy, there's such a demonic presence around us. If there's ever been a day, we've got to separate from sin and sinfulness. It's this day or get mortally wounded. Boy, that's what Satan would like to do. Every time on the battlefield that a man gets wounded, a lot of times it takes two or three to get him off the battlefield. When somebody is wounded, it causes a lot of headache and havoc. But therefore, we've got to learn the weapons of prayer, the weaponry of God's Word. I mean, we've got to be determined, come hell or high water, I'm staying with this thing. I'm sticking with God. I'm staying with God's will. I'm going to do what God has called me to do by His grace and by His mercy. Personal hardships. I think about this word hard, difficult. You know why it's difficult? You live in enemy territory. There are no easy churches. There are no easy communities. There are no easy centers. They're all hard. It's hard everywhere across this country. It's everywhere. When I was a boy, there used to be refuges where communities had such an awareness of God. There was such a respect for the house of God and the man of God and the people of God. And then it was good plowing and good sowing. Them days are gone. From Maine to California, it's hard ground and it's hardship. I'm not here trying to throw water on your parade. I'm saying we got to face reality. Where we are, what we're up against, and beg God to get on us and give us the power to live for Him in this hour. You're in enemy territory. And the greatest enemy you've got is that inner conflict. Listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 25:17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee. By the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, he met thee by the way, smote behind most of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Boy, that's what Satan, he just waiting around in the shadows, waiting for the weakness and a faint time in your life and mine. Numbers 21:4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, and they compassed the land of Edom, and the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I don't know of anything that we're facing in this hour like discouragement. It's everywhere. It's like an epidemic of it. Everywhere that you go. Deuteronomy 1:38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Moses said, encourage him. He shall cause Israel to inherit it. In Deuteronomy 3:28, he says the same thing. Make sure that you encourage the man of God. I'm going to tell you something. Devil ain't going to shut this church down. He just shuts down God's man. It's out of business. Well, that's right. You won't move one inch without God's man. The children of Israel didn't move one centimeter till Moses showed up. We've lost the importance of that in this hour. Not just anybody can do what your pastor does. As long as it's God's will for him to be the pastor of this church, ain't nobody else can do it. He's the man chosen for the hour. He, in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see that day approaching. Well, if there's ever been a day, folks, we need to encourage each other. Yes, sir. Just seeing somebody walk through that door, walk through that door. Well, encourage one another. Tell them thank you for serving God. We might not be what we ought to be, but you're not sitting home tonight watching television. You're down here at God's house, and I thank God for it, and it encourages me when people serve the Lord. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We are in the last days. This Bible is full of characteristics of the last days. If I didn't believe in the rapture, I could easily believe we could be in the tribulation right now. But I don't believe that, because I believe the rapture's coming first. But the signs of the tribulation are all around us. This thing's lining up, just like God said. Luke 18:8. I'll tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. So we embrace the hardness. And if you embrace the hardness, you can't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. This isn't a Sunday morning deal. This is every day. You die to yourself. Take up the cross and follow Christ. It's sitting Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's a lifestyle. It's not something I do when I show up down here. It's the way I live. It's Christ. It's not religion. It's a relationship with a person. I don't have to be here to talk to him. I don't have to be here to fellowship with him. Christianity has got to be a relationship between you and God, and that's what will sustain you in the midst of the journey. Don't you listen to this. At the turn of the 20th century, which you kids, that's early 1900s, there was this ad put in the newspaper. Here's what it said. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness and constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Now, who do you think wrote that? Who put that in the paper? Well, the man's name is an Arctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton. Now, with such a job description as that, bitter cold, months of darkness, small wages, very dangerous. You wouldn't think anybody would volunteer. But there were thousands of men that volunteered to go do that. The flesh craves that. The flesh, I mean men, will spend their life to break some record in Guinness Book of World Records to get recognition in this world. But you try to find somebody that will sacrifice for the cause of Christ, give their all to the glory of God. And you can't really find anybody that wants to sell out and give Him all that you got. He gave me all that He had. He deserves all that I've got. Warren Wiersbe made this statement. He said if Christ was to advertise for workers, the announcement would sound like this. Men and women wanted for difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, but your full reward will not come till after your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, even your life. Now, that's exactly what Christ is offering you. Right. It takes real love to do that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Ain't no need beating around the bush. I'll tell you right now, there's a cross to bear. Americans are so soft. We've been so soft in the church for so long. We know nothing of discipline. We know little of warfare.
We know little of fighting the enemy. I'm not jumping on you, not jumping on me. I'm just saying that's the way it is. We ought to have a course 101 on AWOL. We got a bunch of AWOL people and a bunch of deserters. What we need is men, women, boys, and girls that'll get a hold of this thing and believe that prayer works, that prayer makes a difference, that the Word of God's got power and the Holy Ghost has got power, and live for Him the best they can for His glory. Well, not the best they can, but the best He can through them. Now, you've got to understand and realize you've been inducted into an army. I mean, what I'm trying to say tonight, our flesh hates this stuff. I'll tell you what, I haven't said one thing tonight my flesh likes. It rebels against every bit of this. It hates it. The flesh wants ease. The flesh wants comfort. But Christ called me to be a soldier. This is not peacetime. This is wartime. It's battle time. There's a real enemy. There's a real opposition. There's a real danger. And the danger, listen, God isn't asking for volunteers. He drafts people. If you're saved, you're a soldier. You may not be on the battlefield, but you're a soldier. He put the soldier in you. When He put the Holy Ghost in you, He put that in you. He put the fight in you. He put the fight in me. And we'll yield to that and do what God would have us to be. We can fulfill His will. Now, you want to do in basic training? That gets you up in the middle of the night. Sleep 30 minutes, gets you up. Go run, do push-ups till your arms are like rubber. You'll go get in the mess hall. Before you get a bite of food in your mouth, that sergeant's screaming, get back outside and run. Now there's a reason for that. And the reason being, I think a lot of times that if they would, maybe they're doing that nowadays, but if they would explain to soldiers while they're doing what they're doing, it may not be so difficult to accept. You know what those sergeants are doing? Besides making those men lose their individuality. You know, almost every army base in America is either in blistering hot or freezing cold. You know why? That drill instructor has got to cut the umbilical cord of them boys from mama. It ain't a lazy boy recliner now. This is war. This is danger. And what them boys find out is their body is so resilient. And until that body is placed in such a pressure cooker as basic training, a man or a woman will never know what their body is capable of. That's why they do that. So when they get on the battlefield, there is no 8 hours of sleep on a battlefield. When you got 50 or 100 pounds on your back out there beating the pavement or the desert 18 hours at a time, maybe sleep 2 or 3 hours, and your buddies dying all around you, blood flowing, boy, there's going to be some hardness that's been worked in you, and a man has got to know how strong his body is. That's why they do that. You want God to let you go through storms like you do? To show you, you got something. Do you know that? You say, well, I want God to do miracles. Well, you just ask God for trials then. Well, I want God to give me some miracles. I want to be able to tell my children what God's done. Well, you just ask for trouble. I mean, we want God to do miracles of providing, but never have a need. We want God to do miracle working power in healing our bodies, but we don't ever think we ought to get sick. We want God to save people, but we don't want to carry the burden. Folks, listen to me. This thing, there's a hardness in this thing. And as you serve God, go through the fight, go through the blood, go through the sweat, go through the hardship, it'll build you up in faith. What God has put in you, what God can do through you. And you got a story to tell how you went through the darkness of the night and God God showed up and God gave you power and you got a story to tell of the keeping power of God. As a believer, we've got to develop that understanding, mentality of a soldier. You know something else a soldier's got to learn? To take orders when they don't understand them. Oh, that's right. You gotta be willing to take orders and not even think about it. You know why? Every soldier is brainwashed. You might as well put it down where it's at. Ain't no way you gonna make an 18-year-old boy charge a hell of bullets unless he's brainwashed by the United States government. That's what they do. They mold him into the will of that sergeant or that general. That's what God wants to do to us. Not brainwash us, but give us a mind of Christ. To where that mind is in us. Where we're willing to humble ourselves and let God be God. You know what? A lot of times, that army, listen. Man, they give impossible orders. Here's the general passing down the line. Like they did all through World War II. We got to take that hill. I'll tell you in hindsight, if CNN and the rest of that bunch of liberal devils that tell the news had been in World War II, we'd have lost that war. Because they'd have turned the American people against the war. That's what they'd have done. Back then, there was a little bit of patriotism in this country. You don't show everything. I'll tell you, hindsight, one of the stupidest things you ever seen is the Normandy invasion. Man, they killed our boys by the thousands. That had to be a better way than that. But to take that beachhead, it took conflict. You see, the airplanes flew over Yamaha Beach, Normandy Beach, all through that area, trying to soften up the targets. But the Germans ran those pillboxes and so far down in the ground, we didn't hardly even phase them. So when our boys got to storming that beachhead, boy, the bullets is flying. Our men was dying all around us. How in God's name are you going to do an amphibious landing? Walk into them bullets. Walking into death. You might as well commit suicide. They somebody got to have a hold of your mind to do something like that. God wants your mind. He wants you and I to obey Him without asking questions. Why? Now let me tell you something about prayer. I don't know much about it, but I know one thing. God's not my heavenly bellhop. Amen. Amen. That's what a lot of people think. He's not a heavenly bellhop. I tell you what prayer's for in the battle. Prayer's not like a telephone. It's like a walkie-talkie where you're calling in reinforcements from heaven to come and help us fight. When the foot soldier goes in, the artillery boys are shooting over their head, breaking down the resistance of the enemy. And you got firepower, hellfire missiles. You got power from the air. That's what we need. God's angels to come on our behalf and drive back the forces of hell so we worship God and get God's work done. That's what they're for. Their ministering angels sent forth to those whose heirs of salvation. Now to be a good soldier, you can't be entangled in this world. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things I don't do. Not because it's sin, but because I can't handle it. Hey, there's things bother you won't bother me. And there's things bother me won't bother you. And there's some things I can't do a dab. I'll get addicted to it. I'm that way of watching sports. That's why I hardly ever watch it anymore. I can't handle it. God don't want me watching that stuff 4 or 5 hours a day. Come on. There's a world going to hell out here. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This word entangle speaks of a soldier who has got his sword entangled in the garment of another soldier, or entangled in his own garment, and he can't wield the sword. It's tied up. And a lot of God's little young'uns, folks, I love you tonight, but a lot of God's little young'uns, they're so bound up. They don't have no liberty or freedom or power with the Word of God. They can't wield that sword because they're so entangled with this world. You know what Lot did? That's what he did. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he got entangled, and he got to accepting that lifestyle, and he got down there, and Sodom got in his heart, got in his family's heart, and he vexed his righteous soul daily with the conversation of the wicked. Boy, the American soldier on the battlefield has got to trust his commander to be a good soldier. We must live daily to please the one who called us to be a soldier. Now, I want to read a little bit of this. It might help somebody. And then close this thing down for long. Edward Gibbons, who wrote The Decline of the Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, he gave insight to the Roman soldier. Now, Paul's talking about the Roman soldier. We better find out something about him. He said, Edward Gibbons said, the military establishment of the Roman Empire assured tranquility and success. In the pure ages of the Roman Empire, the use of military arms was reserved for citizens who? Now, not just anybody could be a soldier. Oh no! They didn't entrust that golden eagle to just anybody. If you're going to be a soldier, number one, you've got to have a love for country. Number two, you've got to have property to defend. If you don't own land, you can't be a soldier. Did you know in America, you had to own land to vote when they set this thing up? You know why? Them that own the country, they're the ones that own the nation, those that own land. And those that own land will defend their property. That's why it's so difficult to go to a country and invade somebody else's land. They're going to fight to the bitter end to fight for their barn and their cows and their chickens and their mamas and daddies and their family. And a man to be a soldier had to have property. You got a stake in this thing? Does it mean anything to you? Well, if it don't, you ain't going to fight for it. But if the cause, you got to believe in the cause. One of the big problems in these last wars we've had is the people don't believe in the cause. They don't believe it's going to work. They don't believe there's any benefit out of it. And I'm not here to argue that either way. We would be here all night. But I'm here to say it is critical that you believe in the cause, that you love the commander, and that you got a stake in this thing. Folks, I got a stake in this thing. This thing's been handed down to me. Now, I didn't get saved because my mom and dad were, or my grandparents, but they passed down the faith to me. And they're counting on me to pass it down to my children. And the church I pastor, those moms and dads are counting on me to pass down the faith, whatever my responsibility is, to their children. I got a stake in this thing. I mean, it matters to me if people go to hell, don't it you? It matters if we lose all our children to sin, lose our families to the works of the devil. You got to have a share in this thing if you're going to fight. You got to believe in it. Now, this old Roman soldier, they did something else. The patriotism, listen to what he said. The patriotism of the Roman soldier made him almost undefeatable. Folks, listen. Where's our loyalty to heaven? Where's our loyalty to God? God didn't save me to take me to heaven. If he'd have done that, he'd have took me out of here when he saved me. He saved me to glorify him. Upon entering the army, soldiers took a solemn oath Boy, they took that thing serious. You know what? You ever joined a church? You took a solemn oath. But watch what that is. The Roman soldiers swore never to desert their standard. The standard was a golden eagle, an object of fondest devotion. It's like Francis Scott Key with Fort Henry when he saw the flag still flying. Rally around the flag, boys. Rally around the banner, that golden eagle of the Roman soldier, the one, the banner, their flag, that they carried. Everything they loved about Rome, everything they loved about their country, that's what that represented, their way of life. Hey, I see that word church. Boy, it does something to me. That's my crowd. I'm talking about the real church. Boy, that's the flag. That's the banner that we're flying, the church of Jesus Christ. Then they had to submit their will to the command of the leaders, and they did. Sacrifice their life for the safety of the emperor and the empire. Then soldiers were inspired by pay that was excellent. I'll tell you something, folks. I ain't doing this for nothing. I ain't talking about up here preaching to you. I'm talking about I'm doing this for Jesus. If I wasn't doing this for Christ, I'd quit a long time ago. That's why I do this. Number one, I love Him. Number two, I love His people. And I love lost people. I'll tell you something. God's people's the greatest people in the world to me. Everything I got, God's people bought me. Hey, I'll tell you something. Hey, the government ain't bought me nothing. God's people have. God's people's the reason I got up here tonight. God's people bought me these clothes. God's people put gas in my car. God's people put food on my table. Hey, I love God's people. They pray for me. They hold me up. They comfort me. If death comes, they're there. Sickness comes, they're there. Hey, we're fighting for something that we love. These soldiers were inspired by fear. Their greatest fear was letting down the commander. It was impossible for cowardice or disobedience to escape the severest punishment. The centurion was authorized to chastise soldiers with blows. Generals were authorized to chastise with death. It was an inflexible maximum that the soldier must dread the enemy more than, or dread the officer more than the enemy. You say, what in the world is that? Hey, amen. The terror of the Lord persuadeth us. Hey, I'm not afraid of God, what God's going to do to me. I'm terrified of what's going to happen to them that's lost. And I've got to stand before Him one day. That ain't going to be Sunday morning picnic. That's to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And if I build on the foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, and if not, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be tried by fire. And nothing to do with me being saved, but I can stand there saved though as by fire, like a man's house burning down, and he escaped with his life, and his wife and children escaped with their life, but they lost everything that they had. I don't want to stand like that. Edward Gibbon said, arms are that these soldiers were greatly trained. Listen to this right here. The exercise they trained every morning and every evening. Even if the soldier was older, he still exercised every morning and every evening. What they did in the wintertime, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. They built sheds for men to exercise in. They used weights and they exercised with twice the weight as their warfare equipment was. You ever seen somebody get up with a ball bat, put a donut or two, put weights on that bat, and get up there swinging that bat? Some casual observer would say, what in the world are they doing? I tell you what they're doing. They're getting that, they're handling that heavy weight. So when they get up to that base, they can hit that 95 mile an hour fastball. That's why, and come around on it. God lets us carry heavy loads and heavy weights to make us strong in the things of God. I'm talking about being a soldier. The only difference in activity or circumstances during peacetime or war was the presence of blood on the battlefield. Those men exercised as hard in peacetime as in warfare. Then he said they cultivated the science of tactics. They would advance 20 miles in 6 hours. That is totally in gear too. The best generals and emperors encouraged the soldiers by the following. You know what encouraged the soldiers more than anything they ever did? That general just showing up. His presence. Folks, that's what we're missing. Right there. It's the presence of God. I'll tell you what, if you're living in His presence, it's a joy to serve Him. Boy, if you go down to the church to worship God and the Holy Ghost shows up and kisses all over you, you'll want to come back. But there's got to be preparation for that to happen. We got to be living for God. Hey, I'll tell you what happened one time. Everybody in here probably heard of Alexander the Great. That's the wrong name. It ain't Alexander the Great. It's Jesus the Great. There's no great but Jesus. But anyhow, that's what the world called him. Alexander the Great. He conquered the known world. By the time he's 32 years old, sat down and wept, there were no more worlds to conquer. Alexander the Great was going through one of the great passes between the mountains over somewhere. I don't remember now if it was in the Alps or where it was. But it was bitter cold. Snow, ice was blocking the way. His men had marched in that cold environment and that snow and ice till they couldn't go hardly any farther. And they started just laying down, giving up like they're going to die. They didn't know that Alexander the Great was several hundred yards down the path. And he found out what was happening. Lord Alexander the Great did. He rode his old horse past those men. Boy, they looked up and seen him. They just knew they was going to get a tongue lashing and a cussing. Probably some of them shot or killed to make examples out of them. You know what Alexander the Great did? He got down off his horse, walked over, picked up an ice pick, walked up the front of that line and just silently bent down and got that chipping away with that ice pick. Boy, that charged those men that Alexander the Great was willing to go to the front of the line and bear the hardship. Have you looked at Calvary lately? Have you thought about the cross lately? Think about what Christ done for me. He's never asked me to do a thing He hadn't done before me. Don't lose sight of why you're here. If you do, you'll lose sight of the victory. I'll just read through these right quick. I could preach another 2 hours, but I won't quit here in a minute. Hardness. I want to list to you some of the hardnesses we're facing. Number one is the hardness of discernment. Trying to discover the will of God. Trying to know God's will in a service is not an easy thing. When God's real near, it's as easy as breathing. But when there's a lot of satanic opposition, it's difficult. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. When we come to church, folks, we need to sing the songs He wants us to sing. If you need to testify, you need to hit the floor. If not, you don't. Have the hardness of discernment, then the hardness of deception. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. And so as much if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. The very elect. You say, what about these guys on TV? I'll tell you something about these guys on TV. If they don't line up that book, I don't care what they look like. I don't care how smooth they are. If they don't line up that book, they're wrong. That's how the very elect are not deceived. They know the Bible. Don't believe what you see. Your eyes can deceive you. You believe what God said, and that'll keep you from going in there. Then the hardness of our own depravity. Paul said, I find a law in me that when I do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Philippians 3:3, have no confidence in the flesh. You'll know another hardness? The hardness of the devil's accusations. Boy, that's hard. You know what that rascal does? According to Revelation 12:10, he accuses us before God day and night. You've never seen the devil, and I ain't either. He's in heaven accusing us. And when he's not in heaven, he's running his big system of demonic powers in this world. And Satan is in three things: politics, religion, and entertainment. That's where the devil's at. Those three things. Entertainment, politics, he runs the governments of this world. Do you know that? That's what that book says. He's the god of this world. God lets in the White House who he wants to bless us or judge us. And don't think for a minute that God's running that crowd up there. Hey, what they're doing, destroying this country, that ain't God. But listen to me. We'll have a war here if we get into politics. The devil's in politics, the devil's in entertainment, and the devil's in religion. Primarily in religion, more than anything in this world. He accuses you to God, then he gets one of his demons to accuse God to you. God don't love you. God don't care about you. And then he'll get to accusing you dear people to each other. That back there at the back don't love me. That nobody don't want to shake my hand. Just that lie, 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 run his mouth. Now don't tell me that ain't happening to y'all. It happens everywhere. We think people's against us. They ain't said a word to us. Satan fell as far. Hey, if the Holy Ghost isn't putting thoughts in your mind, who is? And the Holy Ghost is not the accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit will burden you to pray for people. But he don't sit around accusing people. Then the hardness of demonic opposition. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. First, now I'm sure old Paul knew the devil. I'm sure he faced him. 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great and effectual door is open unto me. There's many adversaries. The hardness of the disappointment of people. Everything I mention won't get you like this right here. People will so discourage you. You put your life into them, put your prayers into them, and they'll forsake you and leave you high and dry like you ain't spit to walk on. And if you ain't careful, people will get you bitter, and they'll get you so discouraged that you'll quit fighting the battle. 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said, Demas have forsaken me, having left this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God it be not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered from the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Folks, on Deja, there's a lot of study goes into this thing. That's right. Just like you dear people here, there's a lot of effort you put into this. I mean, there's money been given here, prayers been prayed, all that. But any preacher worth his weight in sawdust puts his heart into this thing. You get connected with people. I mean, you get connected. And what hurts preachers is not preaching hard and sweating. It's when people forsake the church. And I'll tell you what's tough is when you see them little two-headed young'uns going out the door that you love like your own children. And that thing right there has caused a many a preacher to lay down the Bible and quit. You know why? They get the hardness of discouragement at fellow believers. Then there's the hardness of difficulty. Wrestling in prayer. Witnessing the word of God. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Preach the word. Here we are. Be instant in season, out of season. You know why? Because we're right here. Exhort. You reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and it's here right now. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. The difficulty of waiting on God in prayer. That's difficult. Some of y'all prayed for years for things you never seen happen. You don't know if you'll ever even live to see them happen. But if you've got the assurance of God in your heart, God's going to do it. Just praise Him for it. Shall not God avenge His own elect, though He bear long with them? I say He'll reward them or answer them speedily. I was coming up here tonight. Devil jumps on my back and says, you know what? There ain't nothing going on in this country. There ain't nothing going on no more. You know what I done? I said, devil, you get behind me. I got to praising God for what God's going to do, what God's promised me in my heart. He's going to let me see. That's what you got to do. He got to get your eyes off of the difficulty. You realize it. You embrace it. But you see the one above the storm. And that's the Lord. Boy, there's a hardness, folks. I love America. I mean, I love this nation. Listen, if you stuck me with a knife, I'd bleed red, white, and blue. I believe in this nation. God give it to us. God give it to Bible believers. It's hard to watch it. What's happening? It's hard to watch the sodomites take the land. It's hard to watch the liberals take the land. It's hard to see the shape we're in, the moral climate. Hey, that's hard to see this nation devoured by the devil. This nation is as different right now as night and day as it was when I was a boy. It's hard. You can't hardly even recognize it. It's the same country. The wicked shall be turned into hell, all the nations that forget God. That's hard. Proverbs 13:34, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. I got a real good preacher friend. His mom and daddy just left his church to go join the Seventh-day Adventists because they convinced them there's no hell, there's no eternal damnation, so they don't have to worry about their boy and girl ain't saved going to hell. That's what people's are doing. Boy, I'm telling you, this book's hard. There's truth in this book's hard to take. But it's right. Then the hardness of distractions, the hardness of dishonesty in the ministry. Folks, there's so many crooks and cons and charlatans. There's a missionary went out west. But Todd Chapman's here yesterday told me about it. This guy, now listen to this, was getting $6,000 a month from churches, was managing McDonald's on top of that, wasn't even going to church, and went out there to build churches, living in a fellowship hall, burning up the power, giving that church $50 a month for the power, and when they asked him to give more, he got mad, offended, and left. That's a con, a crook, and I guarantee he ain't even saved. Man, act like that. They're everywhere. They're all over his country. That's why the lost man's got no confidence. They've seen this skirt chasing outfit, this adulterous outfit, and a bunch of embezzling outfit. I mean, crooks and cons and charlatans. And they got no confidence in God's men no more. That's hard. Boy, that's hard. There's the hardness of division among the saints of God. Ye are yet carnal, whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? One saith, I'm a Paul, another Apollos. Are you not carnal?
You ever heard of the Congressional Medal of Honor? I know you older folks have. That is not given for IQ. It is given for valor and bravery. The most decorated soldier in World War I had a 9-month education. Sergeant York. He was a conscientious objector. When it come time to register all men from 18 to 32 had to register. He goes down at 29 years old, registers as a conscientious objector. That didn't get you out of service. That means you didn't go fight on the front lines, but they give you something to do. But there was a devout Christian that talked to him and convinced him that defensive warfare was biblical when you're defending the homeland. And, of course, what Germany and that outfit was doing, World War II, all that mustard gas and chemical warfare, trying to take over the world, convinced him he had to fight. So he went. Y'all know the story. Sergeant York, 6 other men, went into to a nest of machine guns, and old Sergeant York and 6 men, and mainly Sergeant York by himself, had 132 men surrender to one man. 4 officers and 128 men. And that act of bravery and valor was so commendable that it received the Congressional Medal of Honor and was the most awarded man of World War I. Courage and valor. Didn't have money. Didn't have a big IQ. He got saved. He used to be a fighter and a drunk. While he's a fighter and a drunk, he led singing in the church, led in hymns. But when he got saved, he gave credit to God for the victory. The most decorated man of World War II had a 5th grade education. He was the 6th of 13 children, and they were sharecroppers. His daddy deserted the family when he was a boy, totally deserted all 13 children. His mother died when he was like 14, 15 years old. His name was, some of y'all know who he was, Audie Leon Murphy from Texas. Audie Murphy is the most decorated man in the history of the United States military. 5'5", 110 pounds. He tries to get in when he's 17. The Marines won't have him. He tries to join the paratroopers. They won't have him. He finally turns 18 and the Army will accept him. He goes in an infantry unit, gets over there, and the captain won't even let him get on the battlefield because he's such a little guy. So what he done, he got to volunteering to go out on those missions at night. And that's where his heroic deeds started. Audie Murphy is the man. A lot of movies made after him. Matter of fact, his biography is to hell and back. When that American tank got dismantled, stopped in its tracks, the Germans are coming. Audie Murphy sent all of his men back in retreat, and Murphy got on that tank and didn't let up till he killed a bunch of those soldiers, disarmed their tanks, and the air support come in and finished them off. And Audie Murphy got 50 awards, national or the Congressional Medal of Honor. You know why? He's courageous. Bravery. You know what God's looking for? Some people that's got the boldness of the Holy Ghost. That won't back down. That knows what it is to fight. That'll get in the trenches where you got to sweat. Where there's deprivation and give you life for the cause. Now, folks, I'm not putting nobody down. It's going to take more than this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Hey, we've got to get more serious about this thing than that. We're soldiers. We've got to have a soldier mentality, a love for our Lord. We're on a rescue mission, folks. Rescue mission. That's what we're on. Rescuing the perishing. I was going to church last night. Matter of fact, I preached this last night, some of it. And I just felt led. I got all kind of music on my MP3. And the Holy Spirit just seemed to impress me. I had one of them old recordings of Gospel Light Baptist Church Choir in Walkertown. And they were singing, throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Somebody's sinking today. We're on a mission. We're on a rescue mission. There's people you and I can reach, nobody else can. There's at least one person every one of us can reach, nobody else can. It's going to take some folks that are soldiers. Get in the trenches. Fight the fight. Learn spiritual warfare. Learn how to pray. Get with it. And charge hell with the promises of God. That's what it's going to take. Folks, it's worth it. And God does it out of nowhere. Let me just tell you one story. This just happened recently, and I'm going to tell this and be quiet. I'm up preaching about a month and a half ago. My nephew, which is about 6 foot five or 6 foot six now, about 290 pounds, coming home from college, just graduated. Going to come, his Mother's Day, that's when it was. Going to come home on Mother's Day to surprise my little sister on Sunday night. God ain't on his mind, anything about nothing. He gets to exit 100. He pulls off of I-40, comes up to the stop sign or the red light, and he's going to take a left and go through Jamestown by Jamestown Flea Market by Freedom High School, cut down there 181 and go out, hit 18 and come down out of the church. When he hit that light, the Holy Ghost seized him out of nowhere. He got under conviction so bad, he got out of his car and got to throwing his guts out. He is so afraid. He comes out there past Freedom High School, take a left, go up 181 towards Jonas Ridge, take a right to go down downtown Morganton. And he was disoriented. He went the wrong way. He got up there, got all his mind all out of sorts, had to get my sister, my oldest sister, to tell him how to get there. I'm talking about conviction now. He pulls up to the front of the church, jumps out of that car. I'm up there preaching. I've been preaching about 15 minutes. I didn't know it was him. I seen somebody come through that door. And when he come through those doors, I stepped out in that pulpit. I said, I'm going to have to fight this fool. I don't know what he's doing. He's here to cause trouble. So I was fixing to walk down the aisle and meet him head on. And I seen it's him. He ran. When he hit that door, he ran all the way that altar and dove in that thing, begging God, have mercy on him and save him. He shouted and shouted and shouted and shouted.